who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, May the 28th, 2000. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the speaker of...
I still believe that they ought to send those demons to the bottomless pit instead of just, some say, send them where Jesus sent them. And that's fine, but he's given us authority, and I think it's time we take authority and send them to where they belong. And then bind them there till the day of judgment. Right, right, right. You know, I told this once before up here. The reason, while I'm talking, if you will turn to 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, we were binding spirits, and, you know, we'd cast them out, and we'd bind them when we'd bind them and cast them out, and bind them after we cast them out, and bind back like retaliation, but we weren't sending them anywhere. And we had a man come to our church that was a prophet, and he was driving past our church, and he said to Jim, and I, Mildred, why are there so many demons over your church? I said, what are you talking about? He said, man, I come out of your church and they're just bound everywhere. But why are they up there? I said, well, we've been binding them. He said, well, girl, send them away. Don't leave them there. Send them away. He saw in the spirit and he saw those demons bound above our church. I thought, no wonder we get under so much pressure in this place. We're binding but doing nothing with our binding. And I tell you, it taught me, and so I was saying, well, Lord, where do you want us to send them? And I was reading where Jesus, you know, cast them into the hogs, and I said, well, Lord, and he sent them to the dry places, and I said, Lord, what is that where you want us to do them? And I heard the Lord say, send them to the pit, and so I thought, okay, that's good to me. And I read over in the scripture in Revelation 20, where Satan and the false prophet and all are going to be cast into the lake of fire, but they're bound and put in the pit to begin with for 1,000 years. And I said, oh, I like that. Let's put them all down there with him. And so I was buying them, sent them to the pit, and then they told me, you can't do that. People began telling me, you can't do that. You know, Jesus didn't send them there. I said, well, it's too late for you to tell me that, because we've been sending them there for a long time, and I praise God for it. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, in verse 23, I said I was going to teach on the fragmented soul today. God says here in 23, he said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And so God is saying he wants our whole, our whole spirit preserved. I've never heard anyone say, teach anything on that the spirit could be, now this is talking about your human spirit. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. But I've never heard anyone talk about this. And so I did a thing on it one time just looking. And you can find where it's a broken spirit. You can find where the spirit's bruised and it's wounded. And, you know, all these different things that happen to our spirit. So we need to call and ask the Father to heal the spirit where it's been hurt, broken, and wounded and all the things to it. But we need the soul restored. And he said, Paul was talking here, and he said, I want your whole soul, your whole body, and your whole spirit. You know, when I was looking at that, I was thinking, he said, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Well, Lord, what about all these times we've had to have surgery and have things removed? That's part of our body. So I said, well, Lord, just restore everything the devil's stolen out of my flesh that I need. He put them in there because we needed them. And so he said, yeah, he gave them to us. I thought, well, Lord, no, I said, don't want to be like Sarah now, Lord. Of course, I don't have to worry about that now, but this was back a while back. And I said, Lord, I won't be like Sarah, but, you know, whatever I need, you said whole. And I said, Lord, there's, because let me tell you, before I learned to walk in healing, I had 13 major operations. I've been there and done that, and I know there's a better way. And I've been walking in the better way a long time. And I'll tell you something. You said, well, you lost your husband. I couldn't walk for my husband. I cannot walk for my kids. I can only walk for myself. And if my husband was here today, he would tell you that, and I have no medication. I have not taken medication. Lord, please don't. I bind back my sugar retaliation. I bind every demon of hell. They will not attack me in the name of Jesus. Every time I give this testimony, I have to fight. But I have not taken aspirin or pain pill since 1970. I said it was 70, but it's either 71 or 72. It's in that area the last time I went to a doctor. And people get mad at me when I say it, and they said, you're coming against doctors. I said, no. I said, I'm not a doctor. I'd have died a long time ago. But God just showed me another way. And I didn't mean to get on that, but I did have a lot of stuff removed. And that's why I said, God, restore. I don't want the bad part, but, restore. If God's going to restore, he'll restore right anyway. But God wants our soul restored. And I know you've heard me teach on soul. Some of you have, some of you haven't. But you're going to hear it again this afternoon, so forgive me, sir. Because I'm going to... No, you don't have to forgive me because God gave me this morning to bring to you. And I'm going to obey God. I just sharing with Bernadine, I'm really seeking the Lord what God wants me to do. I don't like roaming around in my house. And I don't like the thoughts of moving. I don't know what God wants for me. But I want to obey God. I still have the church. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want the church. And I keep saying, God, it wasn't me to start with. Jim was pastor. It's always listed in Mildred and Jim Coffee pastors, but Jim was the pastor. I just talked and worked in it because he made all the decisions and all of that, and all of it just kind of dropped on me. And I really don't want it. You know, but if God wants me there, oh Lord, please. I don't want to be there. I really don't. And I don't mean that ugly. I love the people. But it's just so much to carry, you know, when you're by yourself. I'm not by myself. I've got the Lord. I got the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and all the angels of the Lord. But I was telling, praise the Lord. And you know what I said to the Lord? But Lord, I don't have anybody to hug me. Yeah, yeah. I said, but Lord, I don't have anybody to tell me good night. Poor me. Well, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to totally keep my eyes and mind on the Lord, and I'm trying. Sometimes it gets real hard, but I'm getting there. It's been 6 months, and I really think the Lord has been real good and gracious to me. Over in Psalms, in the 23rd Psalm, I quoted this yesterday, the day before, but well, we'll read it. In verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to restore our soul for his name's sake. And he said, you know, I believe with receiving the soul restored, it's just like receiving salvation. And I believe it's like receiving deliverance of the Holy Spirit. You have to ask the Lord, Lord, restore my soul. What do you get by just walking in presumption from the Lord? Absolutely nothing. So if you don't think it's been torn or fragmented or you've lost part of it, you never ask the Lord to do anything about it. If you don't think you have soul ties with other people, you will never do anything about it. But this is getting us, bringing us back to where God wanted. Well, way I pray, and you've heard me say it, the way when I was first formed in my mother's womb, before the enemy got a hold of me at all, God made me perfect. And I said, Father, restore my soul as you put back my soul in me that you put in me when you created me. So we need to ask the Lord to bring it back to us. And say, well, how does it get torn, and how do we lose it? Go to Psalm 7. You know, I found a scripture that tells you that you got to keep your soul. After you get it back, you've got to keep it. And when people say, you can't, I've got all my soul, well then, you're not going to work at keeping it because you think you've already got it, and the enemy's got you deceived again. And because we've got to ask the Lord to take it, to guard it and take. And he said over in Peter, he said, commit the keeping of your soul to him. So we need to commit it to him. In chapter 7, Psalms, in verse 1, this is the Psalm of David that he wrote. And it said, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. David was saying he was persecuted, and of course he was by Saul. And I always thought when I would read the scripture that he was talking about men that persecuted him and chased him. And in the natural, there were men that did it because Saul wanted to kill him. But I know that the Lord is trying to tell us that the enemy of our soul is always there to make us stumble and do anything he can to keep us from walking. And, you know, God's word says that we have to love the Lord our God, your God, with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your soul. So every part of your soul the devil can get is that much you can't love God with. And that's the only reason we get deliverances. The only reason we want all of our soul back, so we'll be what God wants us to be. But the devil wants it, and he can keep us not believing it and getting us in doubt and letting us walk in presumption that we're okay instead of doing. Listen, warfare and battle is a warfare every day of your life. You don't ever get away from it. I said to the Lord one day, and I said, Lord, your word says over in the Gospels, I think it was Luke chapter 4, the devil left Jesus for a season. Lord, when am I going to have a season? You know, don't you sometimes want to know when there's a season that we don't have to battle? But we know that he returned. But there's got to be, and Hebrews talks about a rest in the Lord. And I believe that when we really keep our eyes on the Lord and do our warfare, spiritual warfare, that there will come a time of rest. But if it's too long, then you're going to have to be concerned about if you're going the way God wants you to, because if you're not under attack, you don't know whether if you're not fighting, sometimes you feel like, really, if I go 2 or 3 days without having a rough battle, I'd say, Lord, did I miss you somewhere? You know? Because it's usually a continuous warfare, but there does come a time of rest. He said, David, writing here in the second verse, says, lest he tear my soul like a lion in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. And so David was saying, if I have done anything where the enemy can steal my soul, if he can take my soul, if I've done evil when I should be doing good, or returning evil for good. See, I think, ladies, most of our problem is our mouth. It's true. Because we open it up with, let our tongue go to work before our mind, our brain gets in gear. Because we say things, we're just talking. And the Lord's trying to, you know, over in Psalms, there's a scripture that says, set a guard upon my mouth. And we need to ask God to put a guard upon our mouth. And we need to bind that gossipy spirit. We need to get rid of it. We need to go get that criticizing spirit. We need to go against the backbiting, judgmental, all of these spirits that come out of our mouth. That we're doing, and what we're doing when we do this we need to repent instantly before the devil. Of course, he's standing there waiting because 1 Peter tells us the devil goes around and is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so he's got somebody there looking and listening. And there's that door where he can just walk in and do what he wants to until you and I repent. And we say a lot of things we don't ever repent of. Think about it. The time to do it is the minute you let it come out of your mouth. Stop right then and ask God to forgive you and repent of it. And then that's when we really need to get down and say, Lord. See, when we get all of our soul back, and we do get it back, but we don't protect it because this thing does life and death, and we harm ourselves. But we know that it can be, the soul can be torn in pieces while there is none to deliver. And before Jesus came into our lives, as I've said before, we were open. We were fair game for the devil because we belonged to him. Really, I don't think I always thought he probably never bothered with us a whole lot at that time because we're already his. But the minute you got saved, especially if you got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then when you got into deliverance, man, he set a guard on you. He was watching you. He had somebody watching you and just waiting for the door to be open. Over in Proverbs, in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, verse 5 says, thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. So he said, here I see David saying, he that keeps his soul, you got to keep it. We have got to keep our own soul. We have got to protect it. We've got to watch over it. And we've got to trust the Lord to take care of it. Psalms 34, 35. Psalms 35. It's going to give you a few scriptures and showing you that it can be taken and that we have to do some things about keeping it. You know, being alone so much, I'm learning a little more how to keep my door shut because I spend most of my time just talking to the Lord. And it's very good. I praise God for it. Over in Psalms 35 in verses 4 says, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Now, we need to call upon the angel of the Lord to chase those things away. You know, we have an angel with us. If you don't call upon the angel of the Lord, we need to call upon our own. I really thank the Lord you ever remember the many times that your angel has kept you from harm, from accidents or falling. I was coming down the stairs one day, and I had an armful of something. I think I had some, I don't remember what I had, but I had more than I should have started downstairs with it. I won't ever go upstairs without putting on a good pair of shoes because I know that the enemy's always trying to trip me right at the top of the stairs. And when you get your arms full, you can't hold on to the bouncers. And so I was going down the stairs, and all of a sudden I felt, it was just like somebody pushed me back, and I said, oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the angels of the Lord that kept me from falling because I was just before. And I thought, here I am by myself. I tumble down the stairs. I land on the landing and then, you know, down to three steps down to the living room floor. And I thought, here I would be. You know, I just got a picture of me sprawled out there not able to do anything about it, you know. But I praise the Lord for the protection we had. And he said, let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Send the angel of the Lord persecuting them and chase them. And without cause, they have hid from me their net in a pit. And I was thinking about yesterday when I was really, when I was talking about, I don't think I ever went into it a whole lot about the pit, bottomless pit, where the spirits have been loosed from. And then I was thinking of this, what I firmly believe that one's in a pit's in us. And I was thinking, oh, so there's some of these things are hidden in that pit, and I need to get the pit cleaned out. And so I'm going to go home when I'm by myself, and I'm going to say, Lord, send an angel in and drive out everything that's in there. Don't leave anything in there in the name of Jesus. But I'm going to be by myself so I can get deliverance if I end up on the floor or whatever happens. We're going to pray about it. He says, for without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. So the devil wants, our enemy wants to take our soul. And, you know, go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and let's look at that one, that scripture. I like to go to Job when I do this, but I'm not going to Job today. Chapter 1, chapter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he's walking around. He's got his, you know, I was going down, getting out of my car one day, and I was going down the, I think I was going to the bank. I don't remember where I was going, but I got my car and was going down the street. And I had my head down for some reason or other, and I looked down, and I saw this great big spider. It was that big, and I found myself going around it, and then it dawned on me. I saw in the spirit, and that thing was down on my, under my feet. And what it reminded me of are these things that are around us as a roaring lion seeking an entrance. And I thought, yeah, if you wait there long enough, someone will come along and you'll have a house. But there he was, just on the... I told y'all about the time I was coming from church and swerved my car key from hitting one. And I saw this great big tall one on the front of my car. I just all of a sudden he was there, and I yanked it over like that, and I thought, well, what am I doing that for? I just go right through him. But it startled me because I wasn't expecting it. So, but they are there, and they're waiting for an opportunity to come in. And Peter said, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So if we... walking in faith, when we see one, be like my husband and I were talking one night. We were waked up, but something hit the TV. We had the TV in our room that we used to watch gospel singing on Saturday night. We'd go get in, lay on the bed, and sit up in the bed, propped up in the bed, and watch it. And we heard the TV, something hit it, and we thought it was going to knock it over. And I raised up, and Jim says, oh, go back to sleep. We weren't watching TV. And he said, it's just a demon. And when you believe in the Lord and you know your authority, you don't become afraid. You just say, oh, so you're there, huh? So you take authority over them and run them off. If you want another scripture to prove that the devil goes around, I'm not going to it, but you can look in Job in chapter 1 and 2. It says that the devil, Satan himself, has to appear before God. Because when the sons of God were called before God, so was Satan, came with them. And then the scripture says, God said to him, where have you been? He says, from going to and fro in the earth. And I thought, yep, going to see who he could destroy. Mm-hmm. So, and it says the same thing over in the second chapter of Job. In Matthew's gospel in the 16th chapter, I don't know what I ate. I guess it's that soup that was salty. It was very salty. Something would make me drink a lot of water. They said in verse 26, it tells us that the soul can be traded. Jesus is talking here. He's telling, I did a study just recently. I was telling you about where Peter was in, Peter was in the presence of God. People said that the devil can't touch them. Peter walked with Jesus 3.5 years. And here in this very scripture up here, he said, Jesus was on his way, to Jerusalem for the Passover. And he was talking about he was going to go and die, and Peter to be killed and be raised up the third day. And then Peter, verse 22, I'm going to 26, but so then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And that's real religious, isn't it? We get run into a lot of religious spirits sometimes that tell us, things like this. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And there's a picture of someone with the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter, walking with him 3.5 years and seeing everything and done, been with him. And in fact, Peter was in the inner circle. There's that inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And Peter was always there. Of course, he always had a foot, hoof and mouth disease because he'd get his foot in his mouth every time he turned around. But the devil had entered him. Satan had entered him. Jesus spoke to the devil in him. That's what I was telling you yesterday and afternoon, that when we were speaking about different spirits in people, like homosexual, lesbian, whatever, adultery or abortion, whatever, we're not speaking to the person, but the spirit in them. And that's what Jesus was doing with Peter there. So when people tell you that they're born again and all of this, and we all are, I think everyone up here is born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, that the devil can't touch you, he did Peter. And if you go look at Judas, he did Judas. So Judas wasn't one of them. Yeah, he was. He handled the pocketbook. God, Jesus must have trusted him. He knew it. He knew what was in it. He knew what was in Peter. He knows what's in us. And he was with him, and Satan entered him. But that was beside the point. That didn't cost anything extra. Verse 26 says, for what is it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? So we see the soul can be exchanged. And when you look at that, when he says, what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world? If man can put his soul into things, money, that's where the world is today. Things, big cars, big houses, everything like that, things. The Lord really taught this to me one time after it had happened years ago, excuse me, when I first got into teaching this, but it's longer than that when this happened to my daughter was in college, and I made her clothes because she was going to a Bible college. That was back when, one time when the mini skirts was really, you know, I still are today, some of them I've never seen such short skirts. I mean, skirts, I look at them and think, what is that? And but my daughter had to have all of her clothes below her knees. That was, and she wore slacks. She had to wear top down. The girls always said, we look pregnant. They had to wear the tops, full tops, and they had to be below the crotch. And so they were having a party and some kind of a thing at the. And I had to make her dress. I did a lot of sewing back then, and I was making her an evening dress. And I had to go from my house to Memphis to fit it. Every time I had to do something, I had to drive all the way to Memphis. But that's 20 miles, that's 20 miles, about 40 miles. And I finally got through it and I said, Jim, I put my heart and soul in that dress. I said, and I did. Have you ever said that? And so we put our heart and soul in things. And that's literally what Jesus was saying here. I was pleased with it, but I had worked on it and done all this and put part of myself in it. So that thing was hanging in my closet when the first time I heard and got into soul ties, and I said, oh boy, I break soul tie between you and I grow my soul out of you in the name of Jesus. It was amazing because I often wondered why I didn't get rid of it because she had outgrown it and been married a long time. But I guess the Lord let me keep it there so I could do what I needed to do. So, praise the Lord. Over in Genesis, now I want to go over to Genesis chapter 2 and show you why when you're married and you become divorced or when you lose a spouse, I'll show you why. Genesis 2, chapter 2. And we're going to go to the last part of that chapter and verse 24. You know, God was telling that Adam was lonely and needed a helpmate, so he created a woman. And then in verse 24 it said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be cleaving to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Man and woman become one flesh. The souls are become knit together. And when Jim and I started in the ministry, and even up until he died, he could start preaching, and if he stopped, I could pick it up and go right, and never have studied what he was studying, but I could preach what he was preaching. He did that many times. He always studied in his desk and books and all was in our bedroom, and I studied in the den, and we never talked about what we were going to preach because we didn't want the other one to preach our sermons. And I promise you, we would get up, whoever preached the first sermon preached almost identical what the other one was going to preach at night. And we came to the conclusion God wanted to be sure the people heard it, so they let us both do it. And it was true. And so you become so in one, you know, through this is why the devil has done that. And I shared this when I was doing that on incest. When man and woman, the sex act, and there's blood brought forth, there's a covenant cut. And so when one dies or divorce, that's why God hated divorce. You rend. It's a rending. It's like taking and tearing them apart. Jim left me. I had a real hard time functioning for a while. It was just like, well, it was. Half of me was gone. And so there was you get such a strong soul tie with a man, with your husband. And this is why God doesn't want, hates adultery. Because when you commit adultery, a man or woman with another individual other than your husband, you are becoming one with them. You become one with your husband, and the wife becomes, the husband becomes one. And when it's, that's broken, there's, it leaves a vacuum, and there has to be healing. And the healing takes, it's a process, and it takes time. So, if some of you lost spouses, I should have put these chewing gum in my mouth. I wouldn't have done that as often. You need to break a soul tie with your husband, or if it's a child. Your child, you gave birth to him. It's your child. And you, did you want to say something, Ruthie? Right. I'm going to show you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can do it. I'm going to show you something else about that when I get. I've got a scripture I'm going to go to and show it. But there's such a bonding. You know, they're talking today about bonding. Well, the bonding's already been done in the womb, because when you carry that child in your body, then it's a blood thing, and there's bloodshed. You know, a lot of blood when it's born. And there's that's a strong soul tie there. I mean, now that's a good one. And like the husband and wife together, that's a good soul tie. But when you go, when a husband goes out or a wife goes out and commits adultery, then they've got an evil soul tie. And not only that, ladies, that when a woman or a man commits adultery, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Devil, you'll not do that to me. I bind your power and command you to get away. In Jesus' name. Father, send angels in him. Drive that thing off. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But when they commit adultery like that, when a man or woman commits adultery, and the person they committed the adultery with, they form a soul tie with them, an evil soul tie, but not only with them, but with every person they've ever slept with. And the reason I was talking about, I was going to go and do some healing today, because through these evil soul ties, you not only get the soul tie with that individual, but you pick up anything they're walking in. Blood transfusion is the same way. If you've had blood transfusion, but the blood, when you get someone else's blood, see, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and when you get someone else's blood or someone else takes you, you give blood transfusions, you lose part of your soul if you don't pray over it. You ask the Lord to remove your soul from that blood, and then you, when if you've had blood from someone else, then you ask the Father to cleanse that blood and to remove their soul out of that blood. And I'm gonna give you a scripture over in Ezekiel and show you what God gave me on that. And Connie, I think y'all can get mad at me if you want to, but I'm gonna say this: if personality changes come from blood transfusion, but I believe organ transplant is not of God. It's a. They do that with not only with the organ, but you do it with blood. Diane downstairs, I taught on this several years ago, some part of it, and she came up to me and she told me, she said she had had something, a surgery or something. I don't remember the details of it, but she had had at least two pints of blood. And her whole personality changed because, see, she got the life and soul of the individual she was getting blood from. And she said she'd never been a violent person or a temper. I don't remember how she described it. But they broke a soul tie with that blood and called that, we got the blood out, the soul tie that individual out of her. And there was another characteristic, and I don't remember what it was. But that was a living example of it, and she didn't know what was happening to her until it finally dawned on her after listening to the teachings on soul ties that it had to be the soul of an individual in the blood. So you can, and of course we know that happens with a heart transplant, but or kidneys. We've seen people that had kidney transplants, they even look totally different. Let me finish, huh? And if I can't have time, I get through, we'll answer all questions, okay? Because it's hard if you lose your train of thought, okay? Going on, though, I want to do this because yesterday I didn't give a lot of scripture with what I was doing. I was just talking as the Holy Spirit brought to me. But today I wanted to give you, some of you girls are new and you have not heard any of this. I don't know that you have, but you haven't heard it from here. And I wanted to share with you because I want to go into the deliverance in this area. And so if you've had a a relationship, a sexual relationship outside of marriage, you need to take care of it. You need to break a soul tie with the individual, and you also need to break a soul tie, and I do it like this. I break a soul tie with every person that that individual had sex with in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you to drive out everything that's entered in through that soul tie in Jesus' name. Every sickness, every disease, every fornication, what all these different things, whatever that was in that individual, drive it out in the name of Jesus Christ and get free from it. Okay? Let's go on. Let's see. I want to go to Ezekiel 16, and I'll show you some more on this blood thing. For several years, I had used this scripture, and I'm sure some of you have too, in Ezekiel to stop bleeding. And that's good. It always worked for me because I've used it to stop. I cut an artery one time, and the devil said, "Oh, now you're going to the doctor and have some stitches." And I said, "No." I cut my arm. I was cutting okra out in my garden with a sharp knife, and it slipped, and I cracked my arm, and the blood was just gushing out, and I turned it down. I wouldn't look at it, and I held on to it, and went in the house, and I was quoting Ezekiel 16, and I said, "No, you will dry up. You will stop in the name of Jesus, and you will be healed in Jesus' name." The devil says, "I got you." Now, he was talking to him all the way in the house, and I was just praying. Went in the kitchen, and I thought, "Oh, Lord, I've been teaching and healing everything on Sunday. Now, here I am. Lord, I'm just trusting you. And if it bleeds, it's going to bleed. And so I'm going to wash it off." So I didn't look at it. And I put my hands up under the spigot and turned it on. And I washed my hand, got all the blood off, and I turned it over. And all I had left was a little scar. It was totally, it wasn't even a cut there. And I had washed blood off of me. I mean, a lot of blood. And the devil had just talked to me all the way in the house. But I praise the Lord for this scripture. But in Ezekiel chapter 16 and in verse 4, he said, and talking, and I'm just going to use this part of it. Said, "As for thy nativity, in the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, but swaddled, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou was cast out in the open field, and the loathing of thy person in that day that thou was born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. And yea, I said unto thee, that when thou was in thy blood, live." The Lord talked to me about that, and he said, I had, as I said, quoted that scripture many times, and he said, "Look at this. When you were born," he's talking about this, and I was doing the teaching on the blood and on the soul tie at this time, and he talked to me, and he said, "When a person is born, and when that navel cord is cut, if the parent, the person that's doing the cutting, would start right then praying for that child's soul to be restored, and wash, when they're washing with the water of the word, speaking the word over him, loosen it to the end of the babies when they're born," and he said, "there was not salt in the swaddle at all." And then as they wrap them up in the word of God, and I'm using the word, and using it spiritually, and this is spiritual, what the God spoke to me, and he said, "Because it's not been done when we were born, no one knew to do this, to break a soul tie, to cut off that, when they cut that navel cord, to speak healing and deliverance to the baby." You know, we learn that you can talk to a baby in the womb and the babies come forth different. But we've never been taught or knew about cutting that soul tie and cutting that and speaking the word of God over the child when it was born. And because of that, it says, "None I pity thee to do any of these things unto you." Nobody knew to do it. And he said, "But thou was cast out in the open field." You were just cast out. We came in, out, and were born in the world, and we walked in the world. With cut off the, really what you're doing with the cutting that soul tie there, you're cutting off the soul tie from the ancestors' curses. Okay? And if we knew how that child was conceived, instead of being born in drugs and alcohol like some of them are today. And if they were born like that, if the person that when they were bringing them into, you know, delivering them, could pray over them and think about the difference in what the babies would be like that are born, that are conceived through, you know, drunken whatever, lust, rape. See, all the, it could be different. But even Christian people, if they knew, I had a young man downstairs asking me about his mother. She's got, I don't remember what he told me was wrong with something with the colon. I think he said she was in the hospital. And it's something that's in their family. And he said, I think he said she goes to the Baptist church and she's not spirit-filled. And he wanted to pray for her and he had been praying, but he said it's just a continuous thing. And I said, after I told him what to do, he said, if I can get up to be brave and do it or nerve or do it or something. I said, well, son, I said, it blesses me when my kids come to me and tell me something. And I said, your mother's pleased with you if you'll go to her in love. And I said, what you need to do when you go to her is say, well, mother, when you went to the doctor, do you remember that the doctor said that? Did your mother or grandmother walk into this or did your father's people walk into this? You know what I'm talking about. They asked you your history. And I said, you see, I said, tell her that they're telling the same thing that you're doing, that you're going to break an evil soul tie between her and her mother and her grandmother and her great-grandmother and stop that curse from working on down through the kids today and through his children. And he said, I never thought of that. I said, well, that, you have to, when you're dealing with someone that doesn't know what you're talking about, you can go through the terms that a doctor always go, you know, that they want to know this. And I said, they're actually saying the same thing we are, only they're wanting information to know where it's coming from, and we want information to stop it. And so, because we know that the cutting the soul tie, breaking the soul tie, and the curses, and asking the Father. One thing I haven't shared, but we need to remember this, when we break those soul ties and break curses over the family bloodline that caused this adultery or divorce, you know, if there's a divorce in the family, and so we need to go after the sin, whatever the sin was that caused this curse to come up on the family bloodline. If it was fornication or adultery or incest or whatever it is, what does the scripture say in Leviticus 26:40, 43, between 40 and 43 somewhere. But it's in Ezekiel 26, said the sins of the fathers have to be confessed, and our sins have to be confessed. So when we're breaking the soul ties and breaking the curses of the sins of the fathers, we need to confess the sin. So, well, I don't know what sin. Well, we just say, Lord, I'm just confessing the sins of my forefathers that opened the door for this to come into our bloodline. Since I don't know what sin it was, you do, and I'm confessing their sin, and I confess my own. Well, and I have walked or done anything that would put this on my children. You know, if we don't do it right, don't do it. That's what Jim was doing last night when he was breaking those curses. And he was breaking all those curses way back. And I think you should continue getting deliverance from even while you were sleeping. There was a little bug up there. I don't know whether he bit me or not, but I feel like he might have. He crawled anyways. He's dead now. I killed him. I'm become a murderer. Oh, I hate bugs. He said, but anyways, this is a scripture that the Lord gave me on bringing children into the world. And if you have an adopted child, you need to go and break that in biblical cord, and the soul tie that came through that with the mother, and bind and rebuke all the sins that mother or father walked in. And then over in Ezekiel 40, same chapter in verse 44, you know, I taught this, I've taught it a couple of times or maybe more up here, just spent a whole time on it, on sins of the mothers that are visited on the children. You know, we hear all the time about the sins of the fathers that are visited on the children. But in Ezekiel here it says, behold, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb against his saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Chapter 16, verse 44, he said, thou art thy mother's daughter, that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sister, which loatheth their husband and their children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father was an Amorite. So it tells us that they were conceived in lust and pride. The mothers were, the Amorite was one of Lot's children, came from Lot's children by incest. And the other one was, what was the other? Canaanite. No, Hittite. Hittite and Moabite. So these are, this scripture, though, it shows us, first of all, I was telling this young man down there, I said, the mother usually raises the children. Because the fathers, you know, it's not that way today, but back when I was raising mine, I raised my kids, Jim made the living. And so what I'm saying is that is the spirit. And if the mother's got a temper and the daughter ends up with one, guess what? She got the thing from her mother. If the father's walking in it, then it came from the father's side. But whole point of saying this is that we need to break soul ties between the mother and the children and to come against the sins of the mother's side of the family as well as the father's, because we get them from both sides. And those soul ties can be broken. You cannot, I did one teaching in here on good and evil soul ties. You cannot break a good soul tie. God made the good soul ties. The devil made the evil ones. And you could break the evil soul ties simply because they're of the devil. That, you know, he's the author of everything that counterfeited that God has created. And so they're good soul ties. You have good soul ties with your children, nobody can break. God wouldn't break them because he made them that way. You have a good soul tie with your mother and father and with your husband that God put there. And as my son said to me, Mama, part of you is with Dad. You're already, part of you is already in heaven and part of Dad's still here through that good soul tie we had. So there are good soul ties. You can have good soul ties with friends. You can have good soul ties with churches or people in the churches. You can have good soul ties with people that are okay as long as they don't turn them into evil ones by trying to control you, manipulate you, and use you. That's why this is why it's so important about the soul ties to me. When I first learned about them, I mean, God just has brought me step by step in all this. I started off with just the few evil soul ties. And I had a man that was coming to our church twice a week. He always went to the Methodist church on Sunday morning. It was a tradition down to the family bloodline. He said, you know, I really want to come to y'all's church and I don't want to go back to the other one. And I can't get away from that church. And I said, well, why can't you? And he said, I don't know. It was a real strong soul tie. And all of that's included in it, because his father had died and, you know, been a big wheel in it, and you're right about that. But see, he couldn't get away until I said to him, I said, Clarence, I just loved him. He was such a young man that God's hand was on, and he had the anointing on him, and he had the Holy Ghost, and he was seeing, you know, God was going to really use him mightily, but he couldn't get away from that church, and I didn't know whether God wanted him in our church. And I said, well, Clarence, I don't know where God wants you to go or whether he wants you here or there, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll break an evil soul tie between you and this church, and God will free you so you can go wherever God wants you to. And so I prayed, and I really didn't think anything else about it. In a couple of weeks, here he come on Sunday morning. I'm here. I said, I see. He said, and I'm going to stay here. He stayed for a couple of years or three. I don't know how long he stayed. And then they moved away, and he and his wife moved up, and someone was up in Tennessee. But it freed him. So if you're bound, if you have a hard time leaving someplace, I break soul tie with this place every time I leave. I have a good soul tie with it, but I have an evil one that wants to pull me back here. And you do that because if you don't, then you're not, when I go home, I'm still, part of me still over here. Anyways, let's go on. I'm going to go till 2:30, and then I'm going to do deliverance if you want deliverance. By faith, I'm going to finish this. Let's see, there's one more scripture here. I want to read verse 49. It says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, and they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. And so the word's telling us here that all of these spirits were in the mother because of the where they came from, mother and the father, where they came from, and how the child was born in from a mother from one nation and the father from the other, and then they come forth and they're walking in all this pride and all the haughtiness and all of this. And now I'll go over to Joel chapter 3, and I want to show you what the word says about cleansing of the blood. You may know it, but you can hear it again. In Joel in chapter 3, in verse 21, God says, "For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion." So when you pray over the children, when you pray between over a newborn being born, or when you break a soul tie between you and anyone, ask God to cleanse the blood. And when the blood is cleansed, all the impurities that's in the blood, all the sickness, sin. I shared this up here one time, maybe more than once, but my husband was working at a plant in Memphis, and they had they built bags for overseas. They hauled stuff overseas or something. They made great big plastic bags. They had women working there, and they were always coming in with a runny nose, cold, or headache or something. But I never was hardly ever out of the house a lot, and not around a lot of people. Maybe to the store once in a while, and it seemed to me like I was always getting having to fight off. I didn't get it; I fought it off. Some kind of a nose running, or you know, cough or something. And so Jim was came in one night, and I said, "I'd like to know why I'm the one that gets all this garbage, and you come in from work, and you're out in it all the time, and you will never have it." And he lied, "Doctor, don't you laugh at me." I said, "Get over here and do deliverance on me." And I was sitting on the edge of the couch, and he got over in the recliner next to me, and he started calling stuff off of me. Well, nothing didn't move. I mean, I just sat there like a bum on a log, and I said, "Well, I know it's there. I've been fighting stuff all day. I've broken curses and everything I know of." And I don't remember if it was him or whether God gave it to me, but one of us, the Lord spoke to us and said, "Call it off with Jim." So he was okay. And so I started to call it off of him, and I began to get deliverance. So he took over and was calling it off of himself, and I got delivered. He didn't call anything else off of me. He called it off of him, and I got delivered. That's how soul ties work. And it was such a clear picture of he had brought it in and given it to me through this evil soul tie that we have. We have a good soul tie and an evil soul tie. And we broke it, the evil one, all the time, so we worked on it a lot. But then we asked the Lord gave us this scripture over here to cleanse the blood. You know, we need to pray this ever often about cleansing our blood because of the impurities that are in our food and things. We pray over the food. You know, I always break curses over my food. And one time I looked at my husband. We'd been invited to dinner at this place, and we thought it was some friend's house, and they asked him to pray, and I thought, "Oh boy, this is going to be good." And it was. And he was praying, "I break the curse off of this food. I break the curse off of the handlers, off of the ground, off the one that cooks it." He was thinking he was home, I think. And I looked up at, and she was just looking at her husband. And I said, "Jim, you're going to have to explain this, because they don't understand that you're not coming against them, but breaking any curse that was, any impurities that was in it. Because there's so much in the, you know, fertilizer they put on it. And you know, the handlers cursed it, the ground is cursed. The ones that prepare it, you know what I mean, and bring it into the stores, they curse it with their mouth, and then we eat it. And if we don't break the curses off of it, you need to pray over it. I know you pray over it, but do you break curses on it?" He said, "Well, I don't think it's cursed." Well, okay. Okay. But I really think we should. I know I do. And if somebody else prays over the food down here, I'll pray over mine again, you know, just break curses. And it has nothing to do with who cooked it. It's the ground's cursed. The ground that they, you know, farmers, you know it's cursed. It was already cursed. The ground was already cursed, but they're cursing it still with their mouth. But anyways, praise the Lord. Okay, I got a little bit something I want to go through before. I think I brought two books, and I can't remember which one that I put it on. I think it's this one. I was going to share a little bit about the curses on here. Bear with me for a minute while I find it. I guess that was it. I got the sickness thing and diseases and things that I couldn't find yesterday afternoon. Do you ever have the enemy hide anything from you before you have to hunt to find it? Oh, me. When I was reading that scripture over in 1 Thessalonians, I didn't have my notes out where I could see this, but that word sanctify, where Paul was praying that the spirits on body would be sanctified, said to make holy, purify, concentrate, and cleanse and perfect. That's the Greek for sanctify. And so God wants it cleansed, and how can we cleanse it? By getting the wicked, the evil out of it, and breaking those evil soul ties. God wants us to, Deuteronomy in the 11th chapter, verse 13, I'm not going to turn there, but if you want to write it down, says, God wants you to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and to serve him. And if the devil can block your will, sometimes you know God wants you to do something, and you procrastinate, and you don't go do it. The enemy, I'm talking to me, the enemy don't want you doing it. And you just really don't want to do it. You just sit there and think, I'm just perfectly happy just sitting here. You need to pray and go after break binding off of your will. You and I have a will, and the devil loves to bind it. Because we need to serve God with all of our heart and with all of our emotions. You know, the soul, and when you look it up in the Hebrew and the Greek, it's the same. It says the soul is spirit. You know, I heard Jim say last night the soul was back there. I said, now, Jim, I said to myself, Jim, you don't really know where soul is. We don't know what the soul is nor where it is. God made it. Isaiah 53:12 says that Jesus poured out his soul unto death. Well, he shed his blood. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. When you go to looking at the word blood and life and soul, you can, not blood, life and soul, you come up with the same words in Greek and Hebrew. That in these areas where they're talking about, he poured out his life into, his blood into death. And over in Leviticus 17, when it talks about the blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood, it's the same word. And so the soul is what man says in Greek and in Hebrew is that it's spirit. It's a breathing individual. So if our soul is spirit, where is it? We know our spirit and soul are going to be with God when we die. The spirit and soul leaves the body. The body goes back to the ground. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we don't really know what it is, but what they say it is, it's your heart. Tommy says it's four parts. It's the mind, will, and emotion, and desires. But the Greek and Hebrew says it's the ability, it's your heart, it's your will, your emotions, your mind, your appetite, your personality. And I know that I have cast out personalities that came in that were part of the soul. Part of this girl's soul was removed, and this false personality was put in its place. I was ministering. I started to tell that yesterday, and I never did finish it. I was ministering this girl, and this spirit demon, one Sunday morning. This was early in our deliverance. I just started learning, really just learning deliverance, still learning, but didn't know anything back then at all. And I was ministering this girl, and somewhere she ended up on the floor right in front of the Lord's Supper table. Some people just had a fit doing deliverance in front of the Lord's Supper table. And I said, well, we'll do it then where the spirit, the person needs it. And that girl was screaming, and leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. I said, who are you? Who are you? And he screamed out something that I couldn't understand. But one of the guys standing there with me, helping me, told me what he said. He said he was Clorox. And I thought he said Clorox. I said, what? Then he said Clorox. I said, so I turned back to the girl that was screaming at me and said, leave me alone, leave me alone. I said, what are you? He said, none of your business. And so it's just like it flipped and something else came up and it was just so sweet. Oh, it was so sweet. And I thought, good grief, what is this? And he says, well, I said, who are you? Well, it's just little old me. And I thought, I said, who? And then he told me his name was her name. I said, oh, you lying spirit. I was real smart. I said, you lying thing. You're not her. Yes, I am. I said, okay. come out of there in the name of Jesus. I realized that it was a spirit. I mean, I was real smart back then. I mean, quick to catch on. It took me forever to figure all this out. I mean, every time I'd go, we threw it out. Next time we went to do deliverance on it, well, here come another and said, what do you want? I said, who are you? Just me. I said, we threw you out. Why, you dumb old woman. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what he said to me. You threw me out. You threw that little one out. So I said, well, how many of you are there in there? Well, let's see. You threw that one out, and I'm, 15. I said, well, who are you? We're her. I said, what's their names? Well, I just told you what mine is. The rest of them's the same. I mean, he talked to me, and I was getting an education. I never heard of such a thing. Nobody told me anything about any stuff like this. And I thought, man, if I told this to anybody, they'd think I'd really, you know. But, you know, we went to work, and every time one would come up, and he'd say, I don't remember the different things he was saying. I'd say, well, what's your number? It was number, this girl's name, number, whatever. We got up to 12. We skipped 13. It didn't appear. And we went to 14, 15, 16. So I said, well, we got them all. I didn't realize we had missed 13. Because Jim was helping me, and he was saying, you know, I said, Jim, we got them all. And he said, yeah, I think we got them all. And so we went after the ruler, and which was a strong man. And we manifested that thing. The one that I talked to start with told me what his name was, Pyrox. And I said, you got to go. And he said, mm-mm, I don't have to go. He said, Jim got all of you yet. He said, I got one more. And 13 was witchcraft. She had come into our church one day, and she couldn't walk. She was paralyzed. And she fought witchcraft every time. And witchcraft, let me tell you, when people say there's no such thing as witchcraft, I tell you who you're dealing with. You're dealing with the spirit of witchcraft and rebellion. Rebellion is as the center of witchcraft, and Tommy was talking about it being 13. I thought, I got proof of that. I threw that thing out. But it was so funny because the first time we challenged it after this thing had told us it was still there, well, this other manifested again. He said, oh, well, you got it. You know, he was in a box, and I just threw him out. Biggest lie I'd ever heard. He was protecting that dude. And when she came in and couldn't walk, I thought, I said, Lord, what do I do now? I said, I don't know what this is. And the Lord said to me, go after the ruler of the, what's happening to her? Paralysis. She was paralyzed. And I said, well, you demon that's controlling, ruling her, this paralysis. I said, manifest yourself and come out of there. And took a little bit of praying to get him up. And he finally came up and he was laughing. He said, I sure fooled you. I said, well, who are you? I'm still right, you know. I didn't know who had fooled me. He said, I'm number 13, you dumb old woman. And you can't get the other one out till you get me out. And I said, 13. I didn't know 13 was witchcraft. I said, what's 13? He said, witchcraft. I said, why do you think it's such a... She's been giving you such a hard time because there wasn't any. She'd been involved in it all her life. He just told me the whole 9 yards about it. We got him out, and to make a long story short, we got the straw man out. It took a while, but it was quite a battle. But I'm telling you, she was never the same after we got that straw man out. And it was worth all the battles we went through. But this was learning, and my whole point of telling you this, that every one of those came in through a soul tie. Every one of them. She had been the middle child. They had, her mother and father had three children. The first one was a girl, and she was the second child and was the girl. And her father wanted a boy. And so she was rejected. She felt rejected. And she'd been abused. And she was trying to win their love, her mother's and her father's and anybody else's. She would just put her whole heart and soul into trying to please people and form the soul tie. And every one of them came in. And when we would go, and I'm going to tell you, this was the strange part, and I've never had it happen to me since. But every time I would break the soul tie between her and the individual, before I would break it, when it would be doing deliverance on her, it would manifest, and she would sound just like the person that the soul tie belonged to. And she'd take on their looks. And then we'd break the soul tie and call it out. And I always asked them how they got in. And that thing would tell me what she had done trying to win their love. She didn't, you know, being rejected, she couldn't feel love. They loved her, but she couldn't feel love. But every one of them came in through a soul tie. This, to me, is why soul ties are so important, to get them broken and to get all of your soul back. It's because you and I don't know what all's in us from someone else that we have loved, and they turned their back on us or hurt us or rejected us or something. You form a soul tie. You say, when you're, you know, we know that words are like you lose spirits and curses with words, but you know your thoughts can do the same thing. And if you sit and meditate, like you meditate on your child or someone, you reform that soul tie. Because the more you think on it, the stronger it will get. So God wants us free from it, and what we have to do is say, Lord, I love them, and they're in your hands. Say it again. When you think on a person, you reconnect and sit and dwell on it, meditate on it. You know, I don't mean just a thought run through your mind or, you know, just, but you sit and you think and think. That's why when I have learned with Jim being dead, it was a long time I couldn't say that word, that I don't think of just sit and meditate on him. I cast down imagination. That's what Paul was talking about. Cast down imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have to do it. Mm-hmm. You form a soul tie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She asked a question over here if the soul could be fragmented or taken in the womb. Yes, it can. That's a place where the enemy really works, and that's why we need to educate people to pray and protect an unborn child, because you can protect that child in the womb. You can ask the Lord to put a covering over him, and I don't mind asking the Lord to send an angel in to do it, and I ask the Father to send me an angel in to. I asked the Father to send angels in to do surgery on my body, and I've seen God do it. God works. The word works as much as you believe about it. And if you believe that you can send an angel in there to put a covering and protect that child's soul, so you can dedicate. What about it? When it's first conceived, if you would do that, she asked that about. Dedicating the child to the Lord, but you still need to stand up on it on protection, because the enemy would really zero in on him. If you've dedicated one to the Lord, he would do everything he could to try to take your. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just know that once you make a commitment to the Lord, the enemy is left there to. Reba, what I can see in this area, that as long as the parent would keep their heart right, that child would be protected after they dedicated it to the Lord. But you let that parent get into sin.
Are you always going to form a soul tie with everybody?
No. You're not really. It's according to how much you get involved with them. If you've got somebody that starts. It has to do with how much you allow, you can form a soul tie with a person where you try to control them, okay? You're forming it. Now, if they try to control you, they're forming one. And if you know someone's trying to control you, the way you get free from it is you break a soul tie with them. And you keep yourself, then you protect yourself. It's personality. I use personality, which is the same thing. Mm-hmm. It is your personality. Have you ever met someone that didn't have any personality? And there was nothing about them that would cause you to desire being around them? Their soul's not there. Their soul's not there. And they need prayer. They need you to pray for them and pray that they get their soul back. Okay, we've got about 20 minutes. And I would, if you want to, we're going to break soul ties to start with, and then we're going to break the soul tie between each one and their mother, and each one and their father. But I want to go each one of their mother and their grandmother and their great grandmother and their great great grandmother, the great grandmother, grandmother and the mother, and you. That's four generations. So I have done this before, but we're going to do it again because we've got people here that we've not done it with, and it takes a good bit of a deliverance to get us free. I don't mean a lot of, at one time, but continue. If something comes up between, like between you and, you think between you and your mother that you maybe you had a fight with her and really almost hate, there's times when you your kids hate you, especially when you spank one and or something, you know. But if you think of something between you and your mother or your grandmother or something, break soul tie with it and ask the Lord to forgive you for what you did or they did or whatever. I see this as an area of getting cleaned up in this area and moving on. And that's what it's all about to me. You don't continue, have to continually do it other than with the people you're around day, every day in and day out, and you form those soul ties with them. That's those that you, maybe that you don't like, that irritate you. Thomas told me somebody irritating him. I said, yeah, we all need to get rid of that. But we open doors with it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for the deliverance. We thank you that deliverance is a children's bread. And Lord, we come this evening and I come against those evil soul ties. I break those evil soul ties between each one. First of all, between anyone here and their dead husband or child, or lost child they've lost, or mother and father, in the name of Jesus. We break those soul ties and call their soul back. And ask, Father, that you would cleanse the blood of all the things that were in the bloodline, according to Joel 3:21, where you said you would cleanse the blood that hasn't been cleansed. And restore the soul, Father, restore. You said in your word you restore our soul. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we just pray right now that you restore everyone's soul through those broken soul ties. Restore, bring back. Father, loose the angels to go forth and bring back every part of the fragmented soul. And restore it completely. Make us ever with whole in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I break any soul ties between each one here and their mother and their grandmother and their great-grandmother. We break those soul ties, that chain, that threefold cord, in the name of Jesus. And ask, Father, that you sever each one of those in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I come against those sicknesses that come through those soul ties and infirmities. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of them and command them to go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against, first of all, that spirit of death, necromancy, familiar spirit. In the name of Jesus, we break the power between each one of us and any one that we've lost and any spirit of death in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, spirit of death, loosen and let go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose and let them go. I come against every spirit of infirmity that came through the bloodline in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, restore, restore every portion of the soul and cleanse the blood. Cleanse our blood from the sicknesses and diseases from the grandmother, the mother, the grandmother, the great-grandmother, in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, loosen and let go. Turn them loose and let go. Here's a few. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name. I come against cancer, skin cancer, colon cancer, tumors, colitis, infection, breast cancer. In the name of Jesus, cancer of the blood. Controller of infection. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against high blood pressure. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, back pain, ear infection, bone disease, body pain, cancer of the pancreas, stomach cancer, infection of the urinary tract, allergies, arthritis, cataracts, epilepsy, fatigue. I come against every cyst in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, emphysema, cancer of the bone marrow, strokes and heart attacks. I break the power of strokes, high blood pressure, and heart attacks in Jesus' name. Spirits of tiredness, exhaustion, mind disease, madness, insanity. Loosen them and let them go. Fear and paranoia. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I tell y'all, same thing I told you downstairs. If you want deliverance, cough. Stir those things up. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I come against all infirmity, heart enlargement, heart murmur, glaucoma, all funguses, itching, skin rashes, leukemia, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. heart blockage, weakness, smothering, sinus swelling, sinus draining, garters, hole in the heart, heart failure, heart palpitation, lung trouble, heart diseases, kidney infection. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. Migraine headaches, nervous breakdown, spirits of suicide, turn them loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against the keeper of the soul, the doorkeeper of the soul, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that one that stands there and lets spirits in and out, I bind his power and command him to go in Jesus' name. Come on out there, keeper of the soul, let him go. Let him go in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn him loose and come out of there. Let him go. Let him go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose and come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I met that dude one Sunday morning. He said his name was Methuselah. I don't know what his name was, but that's who he said he was. Oh, he probably was pretty old. Mind control. In the name of Jesus. Hearing voices. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Power over the inner ear. Blockage in the ears. In the name of Jesus. A blockage in the brain center. Confusion of the mind. Let them go. Come on out there in Jesus' name. Paranoia, fears, all fears in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, fear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on out. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. God has given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows and every tongue confesses Jesus is Lord. I come against inferiority and isolation, spirits of isolation, insecurity, humiliation, hatred, failure, hater of men, guilt and shame, unforgiveness, spirits of unforgiveness. Loosen them and let them go. Let them go. I come against violence, lying, pride, little pride, great big pride, Leviathan, in the name of Jesus, king of pride, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go. Come out of there. Come out of there now. Let them go in Jesus' name. Nervousness. Blasphemy. Come on out. Let them go in Jesus' name. Backbiting. Confusion. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of criticism. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cruelty spirits. Let them go in Jesus' name. Witchcraft. Witchcraft spells. Magic. Blood curses. Blood sacrifices. Spirits of jealousy. Anybody jealous in here? Come out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Spirits of jealousy. I'll break every curse of jealousy. Jealousy comes in with adultery, and I break the curse of adultery over everyone in here. The sins of the fathers that go back to the Garden of Eden on both sides of the family, and I call it out in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And if you just stir them up real big, you can get this thing out because it came in through the forefathers. In the name of Jesus, spirits of jealousy, in the name of Jesus, spirits of adultery, harlotry, whoredom, rage, mockery. Come on out there now. Anger, doubt, and unbelief. In the name of Jesus, disobedience. Disobedience. In the name of Jesus, loosen them. Let them go. Spirits of destruction. In the name of Jesus Christ, turn loose and let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. I think the brother was talking about last night, schizophrenia. I'll tell you something. Everybody's double-minded if they hadn't gotten it, singleness of mind. We don't mean to be, but sometimes we are double-minded. So I break the power of that. I break the curse of double-mindedness back to the Garden of Eden on both sides of the family. And I call that spirit of double-mindedness out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, James said that the double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. And I call it out. Spirit of double-mindedness, come out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Turn loose and come out of there. In the name of Jesus, spirits of depression, in the name of Jesus, rheumatoid arthritis, seizures, let them go. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, overeating, gluttony, ruptures, aging, senility, deafness, insomnia, come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. You know, I think if I was sitting up there and somebody was calling me, I'd be coughing on every one of them. I'd make myself because I want to know them. I want them out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of aging. Come out of me in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. We'll let them go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.